May Allah make this year more auspicious for us. New year, new life. New year, new life. May Allah make this year more auspicious for us. New year, new life. New year, new life.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah.
As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Nabiyallah.
As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Nabiyallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
MashaAllah. Viewers of Madri Channel, welcome to the new series of programs, New Year, New Life. And as you can see, the guest that we've got in the studio today are very, very lively. Alhamdulillah, they joined in with us when we recited Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But again, viewers of the channel, we'd like to just begin by giving you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that if a person recites Durood-e Pak upon me with love and devotion, just three times during the day and three times during the night, it'll become incumbent upon the mercy of Allah azza wa jalla to forgive all the sins that he committed during the day and all the sins that he committed during the night. So please make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Viewers of the channel, you're watching this program, New Year, New Life, and you've probably heard the voices, and maybe you recognize the voices. I don't know if the camera shot went to them, but alhamdulillah, on my right side, mashallah, we have Hafiz Rafaqat here with us, mashallah, again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Karam alhamdulillah.
Rubai, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I timed it perfectly.
You did time it perfectly.
I managed to get a cup of tea as well.
You got in just in time, set up your computer, set up your laptop, set up your phone, got your cup of tea,
as well.
MashaAllah. Viewers of the channel, you're watching New Year, New Life, and in this series of programs, we're going to talk about the events that took place during this month, but also we're going to learn something from our rich heritage, and hopefully we can take lessons from them. So whenever, during these series of programs, you hear any waqif, if you hear of any incidents, don't just think that the mubaliks that we have here in the studio are just telling you stories. They're not telling you just stories. Hopefully, they're telling you stories that we can learn something from. We don't want to just have a nice story, think, oh, that was a nice story, that was really, really nice, very, very interesting. No. Hopefully, we can learn something from that. And with that in mind, we're starting today with a very, very important topic, which actually relates to the first of Muharram, and the mubaliks will explain why very, very soon as well. The topic that we've got today is the status of Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. And inshallah, we're going to learn something a little bit about his life, a little bit about his status, his fear of Allah, his love for the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his passion for worship, inshallah, and hopefully much more. Rather than me do all the talking, I'm the host here today, rather than me do all the talking, I want these two brothers to do all the talking, and I can pinch Harun by his cup of tea, and then we'll take it from there and see how we do. Hafiz, with regards to the status of Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, if you can just give us a brief introduction, because I said it before to Harun Bhai, and we were talking about it before many, many times, that when we're sitting here on Madri Channel, we're in like a bubble, in the sense that we think that everybody knows that, so why bother mentioning it? Why are you bothering to mention that everybody knows it? But I think we need to make sure that we, you know, tell people the basics of who this person is, you know, and let people know who this great personality is, that he was a companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was a khalifa, etc. If you can just give us a bit of an introduction into the great personality.
I think when you talk about the introduction of the Sahaba Ikram, you know, the Ulama Ikram, the scholars have written books after books. And there is a beautiful book by Maktabatul Madina, and it's in two volumes. So you can imagine all them two books are about the status of Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But just to start the silsila of the program of Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the 40th Muslim. 30th person to accept Islam. And he was the first Sahabi or the first Khalifa that was given the title Amirul Mu'mineen. You know, we all know this title Amirul Mu'mineen. But he was Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu who was the first one to adopt that title Amirul Mu'mineen. Now, when Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to live in Makkah Park, and he used to be a very, very staunch enemy of Islam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. before accepting Islam. You know, I'm not even going to say, well, everyone knows how he accepted Islam. I guarantee you, many people will not know how he accepted Islam. But just cutting it short, when he did accept Islam, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, are we not on the haqq? Are we not on the truth? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, yes, Umar, we are on the truth. And he goes, then, Ya Rasulullah, why are we hiding in Darul Arkam and offering our salah? Why are we in hiding if we are the truthful? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, Umar, what have you got on your mind? And he goes, Ya Rasulullah, today we will go and offer our salah near the Kaaba. I will make sure that no one harms the Muslims.
Allah.
And he says that there were two lines, the Sahaba Ikram split into two groups. And one line was headed by Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the other one by Hazrat Sayyidina Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And both of these are the lines of Sahaba Ikram. They went and they offered their first namaz, their first salah in the open near the Kaaba, and no one, you know, they say a slang look, no one had the guts to come forward, you know, and to, you know, comprehend these Sahaba Ikram. And Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is known as the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made a dua that, Ya Allah, either give me Umar ibn al-Khattam or Umar ibn Hasham, Abu Jahl. But Allah Ta'ala accepted the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepted Islam. And just one fazilat about Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and the ulama ikram, they say that if there was another prophet after me, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then it would have been Umar, but there is no prophet after me. Now, from this you can imagine what a status that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu has in Islam.
I've already got a question come through. We've asked a question, and rather than people giving us answers, we've already got a question come through for you. You mentioned the fact that Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala was given the title, the first person to be given the title Amir al-Mu'mineen. I've got somebody sending me a question that said, surely wasn't it Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala?
Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his title was Khalifa Rasul. And then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said to the Sahaba Ikram, now the title I adopt will be Khalifata Rasul. That's going to be a long title. So Hazrat Sayyidina Mughira bin Shu'ba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that, yeah, we are the mu'mineen, you are our Amir, so why not adopt the title Amirul Mu'mineen? So he liked that and he adopted that. He was the first one to adopt the Amirul Mu'mineen title.
SubhanAllah. Harun Bhai, mashallah, Hafiz Rafaq has introduced the topic, and it's such a vast topic. And like Hafiz Saab said, volumes of books have been written on it. And I remember quite a long time ago, me and you discussed that there were actually English books that were available in volumes as well. And if we were to start to talk about just the service to Islam, just the departments that he opened up, then that in itself would be a whole series.
It's so amazing that all over the world he's being studied. And not just by Muslims, by non-Muslims. And the rules that he implemented, the guidance that he gave the world, even 1460 years later, people are still benefiting from it. But let me give you a little glimpse of his amazing status and then give you a glimpse of who he really was. In the book that you mentioned, Fezane Farooqi Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it's written on volume 2, page 169, that Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu asks Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me about Jannah, paradise, what you saw on the night of Mi'raj. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Oh Umar, if I was to remain amongst you for the life that Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam spent amongst his ummah, so hundreds of years, 950 years they did tabligh, even then this would not end. That's the description of that. But Umar, I will tell you something that I've not told anybody else. I saw a paradise, and it was in paradise I saw a palace, and it was a magnificent palace. The foundations were on the land of Jannah, of paradise, but its highest point was in the midst of the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's how magnificent it was. Now, its light was such, like on the earth we see the sun. And then Jibril Amin says, O Messenger of Allah, the one who will reside therein is the one who only speaks the truth, encourages speaking the truth. And when someone speaks the truth before him, he does not get angry and he will die upon the truth. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tell me who he is. And Hazrat Jibreel Amin said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the palace of Sayyidina Umar Farooq.
Allah.
Such an amazing hasti. But that to gain that amazing status, I'm going to give you very quickly, I know we're short of time today, two examples. The first is that a man comes to Madinatul Munawwara and he asks, is it Ajmi? And he asks for Hazrat Umar Farooq, Amirul Mu'mineen. Now, this is the person who is ruling 2.25 million square miles. He's got quadrants of army soldiers, hundreds and thousands of battalions and everything else, and they are conquering far lands. So when he comes, he asks, and they tell him maybe he's somewhere taking a rest. So he finds the great Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, made a pillow of a whip, and he's resting there. His intention is bad. He wants to martyr the great Amir al-Mu'mineen. So he unleashes his sword, he stood there, and suddenly he starts to scream. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala gets up, sees what he's doing, takes the sword and says, why did you scream? And he says, well, I came with the intention to actually martyr you, to kill you. But as soon as I took my sword out, there were two lions there who roared at me.
Allah.
And they roared at me in such a way that I just screamed. This was the great humbleness of Sayyidina Umar Farooq. No, the last example I'm going to give you is absolutely amazing. As Amir al-Mu'mineen, he sends an army off to fight a battle. Now, in those days, there's no mobile phones, there's no telegrams or anything else. So he's worried, okay, what has happened to that army? And you know, the conscious God consciousness he had was absolutely amazing. In waiting for this army and waiting for news of what has happened to the Muslims, he would go out on that road and walk out on that road for miles in hope that he could see somebody coming, day after day. And one day, and Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he's got clothes that are torn, you know, with rags on them, and he's got very simple slippers on and everything else. And he sat on this path, hoping somebody would come. And a messenger comes. And I think it was Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala has sent a messenger after the Muslims have conquered the particular place. So he sat there. So as he sees the messenger sees him and thinks some poor guy sat by the side of the road. So Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala says, you've come from that direction. Have you got any news? And he says, yes, the Muslims have been successful. And he says, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Then the horse rider doesn't stop. The riwayat says he carries on going. And Amir al-Mu'mineen is running behind him, saying, how is Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala? How is such a sahabi radiallahu ta'ala? How is such? And doing this, they enter Madinatul Munawwara.
Allah.
And when the people see Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala running behind this horse, right? They say, Amir al-Mu'mineen, what are you doing? And the man on top suddenly realizes this is Amir al-Mu'mineen. He jumps off the horse, comes to the feet of Amir al-Mu'mineen and says, you forgive me, I've made you chase me. And he says, no, it's my great honor and pleasure that you have come with this news of the Muslims. And I am the one who was here, you are the one who's come from the battlefield.
Allah.
Now, though that palace in Jannah and the humbleness and sincerity of Hazrat Umar Farooq, now you can see why Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reward him with such amazing
prizes. You know, like, Harumi, the stories you're mentioning, there's so many stories of Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this is why, you know, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, whenever, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to have a mashwara, a shura, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu would always be in that shura because of his wisdom and because of his intellect. And especially one of the important things is that the love that he had for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And another story was, you know, mentioned about Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He came from a poor family, a background. Now, one day he was, they were preparing for a battle and he had all the sahaba ikram lined up in a queue. And suddenly he started to cry. And the sahaba ikram, they said that, what made you cry? You know, is there something wrong? He goes that, when I look at my past, you know, I am the son of Khattab who couldn't even get 5 camels in a row.
Allah.
You know,
Allah.
I couldn't get 5 camels in a row. And now Allah Ta'ala has given me such a great army. And people say that if Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was given another 10 years of Khilafat, the whole world would have been conquered by the Muslims.
Here's another channel. He was also one of the companions that was guaranteed paradise during his lifetime. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the Ashram al-Bashir, which are the 10 companions that were guaranteed paradise during the lifetime of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And again, you know, if you were to ask, and we mentioned this before, that if you were to ask the youngsters of today, or even the elders of today, that do we know who them 10 great companions were that were guaranteed paradise? Do we know the names of 10 companions? Do we know the name of 10 prophets? Then unfortunately, I think we'd realize what state we are in. But with regards to Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, when he was, even though he was given the status that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam guaranteed his paradise, and just think to yourself nowadays, many of us think that, oh, we performed Hajj, we pray five times a day, we fast during the month of Ramadan, we pay our zakat, so we're guaranteed paradise, aren't we? No, it's not as simple as that, viewers on my channel. Without the mercy of Allah, you're not guaranteed paradise. But in the state, in the case of Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said that he is a Jannati. Now, if that is the case, how would a person change? Would a person change? Would his lifestyle change? Because now he's been guaranteed paradise. He doesn't have to stay up all night worshipping. He doesn't have to read the Quran all day. He doesn't have to do all these extra fasts. But Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq, even though he was given this status, he was still fearful. Because he had this mindset that maybe this is with condition, and maybe I will not fulfill them conditions. And he said that even when, you know, if he arrived late for the namaz and he did not lead the namaz and somebody else did, then many times he could be in the back and people could hear him crying out loudly as a result of the fear that he had. And he has so much fear for Allah Azza wa Jalla, fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that although the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam guaranteed this, he still made sure that he worked tirelessly for the deen. He made sure that he fulfilled all of the commandments of the deen. And then look at us today. Nobody has guaranteed us paradise. Nobody has guaranteed us paradise. And yet we still have the audacity not to read our namaz five times a day. We have the audacity not to fast during the month of Ramadan. We forget our zakat and hajj has become farz upon us 20 years ago. And we'll wait until we get a bit older and we got a bit of time and then we'll do it. And look at these people that even though they were guaranteed paradise during their lifetime, it did not affect the ibadah one iota. In fact, it became more. Because they were fearful that this was conditional, and maybe they even it is stated that Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu asked one of the confidants of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, what about the hypocritical people? Am I amongst those people that have them signs of the hypocritical people inside me? I'm concerned about that. And he said that, no, you are not. You have none of the signs of the hypocritical people inside you. So this was the fear that he had inside him. And nowadays, if we look at ourselves, Hafiz Saab, that we think we read our namaz five times a day, fast during the month of Ramadan, sort it, issue the certificate of hisab, I'm going to paradise.
You know, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that all my companions are like stars, follow any one of them and you'll be guided. Now when you talk about Hazrat Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, even in his early days, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to be amongst the very few people that were educated, that could read and write, and his Arabic was so fluent. You know, the ulama-i kiram, they mentioned that one of the best person in Makkatul Mukarrama whose Arabic was pure was Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You know, alhamdulillah, and there is a saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the ulama-i kiram, they mentioned that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is one of them sahaba-i kiram that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Umar, the shaitan is even scared of your shadow as well.
Allah.
You know, and when he came to, you know, to sadly today, like you mentioned, we've adopted the lifestyle of other people, but if we had really adopted the lifestyle of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, maybe, you know, we wouldn't go through many problems that we're seeing
maybe
today.
Maybe the reason is, and we keep on talking about this on the channel, is that generally as Muslims, we're not aware of our rich heritage. We're not aware of these great personalities. We're not aware of these role models. And because of that, well, you know, everybody, when you're young, you're looking for a role model, aren't you, Harun? But you're looking for somebody to aspire, to look up to follow. And because we don't know about these role models, so we look at, unfortunately, non-Muslim role models. Mm-hmm. And we end up having hairstyles like them, or earrings like them, or clothes like them, or try and adopt the fashion that they have. Whereas, unfortunately, I think the current generation of the Muslims have lost that rich heritage that we had.
You know, when you speak to some youngsters, they say, I admire such and such a person because he's very courageous. You know, he'll stand up. The Muslims are migrating to Madinatul Munawwarah, and, you know, some of them are migrating at night to avoid a clash with the non-Muslims. And you know that if they catch you, they're going to torture you and probably kill you. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. Now everybody else is trying to see, how do I get to Medina? How can I leave in a way where I can leave quietly in every sense? He openly says, if anybody wants to make their children yatim, so wants to orphan their children, if anybody wants to widow their wife, yeah, I'm going, come and stop me. Yeah. Come and stop me, yeah? I mean, how, you know, if you're going to love somebody because they're courageous, has there ever been a man more courageous than Hazrat Umar Farooq? You know, so if you admire somebody or somebody's your role model because they are, you know, courageous,
they don't even reach the dust of the feet of these great Hastis.
Subhanallah. They were those people that you can close your eyes and you can follow them. You know, that in every aspect of the life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his ajizi, you know, his fear of Allah, you know, it's all complete. You know, his ajizi. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to have a habit of walking around the streets of Medina just to see if anyone needs any help. And one day, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he goes past a house. And this is slightly outskirts of Madinah Park. And he sees some, you know, he hears some children crying. So he goes to the house and, you know, he sees, he hears these children crying. So he knocks on the door. He's got his servant with him. And he knocks on the door and this old woman, she calls from inside, "Who is it?" And he says that, "I've heard, you know, you're crying. Your children are crying. And why are they crying for?" And she says that they're crying because of Umar. You know, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he goes inside and he goes, but, you know, maybe Umar doesn't, he doesn't tell her that it's me. Maybe Umar doesn't know that, you know, you're in this state. He goes, if he doesn't know that I'm in this state, why is he a Khalifa for? You know, he should leave his post and let someone else come there.
They didn't they were crying because of food, didn't they?
They were hung because of hunger. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says to his servant, "Let's go." So they went to Baitul Mal and he was carrying the sacks himself. And, you know, another thing, you know, nowadays, even if we have anyone working for us, you know, if we've got one employee, we'll make sure that, you know, we get money's worth out of him. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he carries the sacks and he's not only that, he gives the food to the woman and goes, "You make the roti and I'll make the handi." And he's, when the fire would go out, he would blow into the fire. Mm-hmm. And his servant there looking at him that, you know, he should, you don't have to do that. I'm here. We'll do it for you. And at the end, you know, I'm just going to cut it short. You know, he gave the children food with his own hands. And he says that he went on all fours, his hands and knees, just like a little lamb, you know, he was there playing about with the children. Once they smiled, he left their home.
Allah.
You know, and this is, you know, we're talking about, you know, like Harun Bhai mentioned, 225 million square miles. Such a great ruler. And look at his adab and look at his
adab. But even then, that's, I mean, viewers on this channel might think that was just a one-off. That was quite normal with his lifestyle. And there are many, many incidents. And as you were talking about that, I remember another incident where Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he's walking the streets of Medina and he hears a noise from a house and he goes in. And again, similar situation where the person's complaining. And what it was is that his wife was expecting the person that was complaining. So he goes home. He goes home and he says to his wife, and the beautiful words, and whenever I read this, it really hits me. And he said to his blessed wife that an opportunity for us has come to earn reward.
Allah.
Do you accept? And I'm thinking, when I read them words, Harun Bhai, it really hit me that it wasn't seen as a burden. It wasn't seen as, oh, we've got to fulfill our duty, we've got to do this. An opportunity has come. An opportunity has come to earn some reward. Do you want to partake in it? And she said, what has happened? And he explained to her that there's somebody expecting, and will you come with me? And she says to Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, if you allow me, I will go. And they go there. And at the same time, his wife goes inside, the sister, and he's outside and he's similar situation, making food. And it's only when a voice comes from inside that his wife says to him, "Oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, tell your companion that he's blessed with a son."
Allah, Allah.
And then the companion looks at Amir al-Mu'mineen and he's shocked that, you know, Allah, this is Amir al-Mu'mineen that's here. And he's brought his blessed wife here. He's cooking the food here. And, you know, when you read about the life story, these are not just one-off incidents that we talked about, your viewers on the channel. We could do a whole program on just the events that took place when Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu is just walking the streets of Medina.
Allah.
A whole program could be done on walking the streets of Medina with relation to Sayyidina
just
Hazrat Umar Farooq.
Such an amazing Hasti. I mean, I'm going to slightly take us to a different path, because the services to Islam, you hear the azan, ask yourself, who had the dream?
Allah.
Where did it come from? Because at the time, there was talk of the Muslims having some sort of method of inviting to Salah. And it was Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala who said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I had this dream and these were the words." And then Hazrat Bilal Bakmar radiallahu ta'ala then started to proclaim the azan. The scholars write, 20 opinions of Hazrat Umar Farooq became Quranic ayat, including hijab and Muqam Ibrahim. And then there was so much. I mean, you mentioned a couple of nights ago on the program that in the old traditions, Khalid, what used to happen is that this was before Egypt was conquered by the Muslims. The river Nile used to dry up every year. And every year they would dress a young woman and sacrifice her, throw her into the river, dress her up and throw her into the river Nile, and the river Nile would start to flow again. So when Islam conquered it, the governor of Egypt sent a letter saying, these people are saying that this is how the river flows again, and the river has dried up, so what do we do? They want to sacrifice this woman, and this is un-Islamic. So Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala writes a letter, not to the governor, not to the people of Egypt, but to the river.
Subhanallah.
So it's not to the people saying you these are old old kind of thoughts or old traditions, you've got to get out of them. No, he writes a letter directly to the River Nile and says, if you flow by your own will, then you can stop, but if you flow by the will of Allah, then start flowing.
Allah,
and they say 1460 years of history, the river has never stopped flowing since.
Subhanallah.
This is the amazing hasti, you know, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. You've mentioned we're all kind of fighting the shaitan through our lives, and he's winning most of the battles. May Allah protect us. But this is the person who shaitan used to change direction when he saw him coming. I mean, when I read that, I thought, well, how amazing is this personality that the shaitan changes direction when he sees Hazrat Umar Farooq.
So before we continue this topic, viewers on the channel, you're watching New Year, New Life. But we've got a little package now that we just want to go to. If you can now run this package, inshallah, but stay tuned, inshallah, we'll be back. And we can listen to some other pearls from Hafiz Rafaqat and Harumbai here as well, inshallah. Let's go to the package. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Viewers of Madani Channel, there is a very beautiful hadith I want to mention. That Sayyidina Rabi'a bin Ka'ab Aslami radiallahu anhu said, that one day I helped the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make wudu. Pleased, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, Rabi'a, ask, you will be given what you ask for. I replied that I ask you to keep me in your company in paradise. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further asked, anything else? I replied, just this. In other words, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after seeking your closeness in Jannatul Firdaus, what else is left in the world and in the hereafter for me to ask for? So after Sayyidina Rabi'a radiallahu anhu asked for the closeness of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannatul Firdaus and then declined to ask for anything else, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then help me by prostrating abundantly. Subhanallah. Dear Sahih brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, in regards to this hadith, Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Dehlvi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says that the word ask uttered by the blessed tongue of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without any restriction and limitation shows that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has complete authority given to him by Allah Ta'ala. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can give whatever to whomever he wishes. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Coming back to the conquest, Khalid Bey, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, conquests of Iraq, Iran, Syria, Egypt, and many, many more. And there was one particular story when Jerusalem was conquered.
Oh, yeah.
Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala the governor sends a letter, the leader of the commander of the Muslims sends a letter saying that the keys to Bethel Maqdis won't be handed over till Amir al-Mu'mineen himself comes. So he sets out. Now you can imagine 2.25 million square miles. Islam is at its peak, you know, everywhere, you know, everybody, even the Persian Empire and the kings are trembling in their palaces at the name of the mention of the great Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu. This is the condition. Now, he's called from Madinatul Munawwara to Jerusalem, Bethul Maqdis. Tell me this. How many camels do you think were in his entourage? How many thrones did he have? How many people were with him? And what splendor and, you know, royal kind of decree did he travel and make that journey with?
Well, I guess, Harun Bhai, that if he was such a big leader, probably miles and miles of entourage.
A huge entourage, yeah?
Miles.
A huge entourage. Well, he's a commander of the faithful. There's 2.25 million square miles that Islamic, you know, and Islam is breaking all barriers. He travels from Medina to Munawwara with one slave,
Allah,
one servant, and how many camels? Just one.
Just one.
And what he says is, look, we will take turns, so you ride for a bit, and then it will be my turn and I'll ride for a bit.
Allah.
So they set out on this journey, which is quite a lengthy journey. Now, when they get close to Baitul Maqdis, Jerusalem, and the people are all waiting there because Amir al-Mu'mineen is coming, guess what? It's the turn of the servant to ride the camel. So he says, okay, I give up my turn. Look, we're going into newly conquered lands. And, you know, we want to show the splendor of Islam. And therefore, it's better you as Amir al-Mu'mineen ride on the camel and I'll walk and I give up my turn. And he says, no, that's not how you show the splendor of Islam. You remain on there because it's your turn and I will walk. And when they walked towards Baitul Maqdis, I think it was Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from recollection, he is there and he says, you know, they say, is that the Amir al-Mu'mineen on the camel? And they said, no, our Amir al-Mu'mineen is the one who has the reins of the camel and is walking in front of it. This was the great Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You don't get palaces in Jannah, which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives you glad tidings of, which are touching the arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal, without this sort of character.
And I would seriously ask the viewers to go through and read the books of Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I got a message from one of my cousins, Israr Bhai, and he's, mashallah, Azza wa Jal, I can remember that a couple of weeks ago, he wanted the books of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Shani of Farooq Azam. He goes, I've just had them delivered today. You know, and seriously, Harabi, when I started to read that book, you know, one day I read about 100 pages. It is so beautiful. You just want to keep on reading and reading. And I would invite the viewers of Madani Channel to read the life story of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Not do you find only a person, you know, who conquered such a great land, but Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his humbleness, his ajzi, his sincerity. Now, someone might be thinking, yeah, it's good. You know, whenever you talk about these kind of things, you know, people think, you know, it's a good topic for the politicians to remember. You know, we're all, you know, amirs in our own homes, ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa. So we are responsible for our children, our wife, our family. So therefore, read the life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and just see how you could be a good father, a good leader at home. Because on the Day of Judgment, you're going to be asked about these kind of things. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you know, amongst all the Sahaba ikram, subhanAllah, one of the great person that you can, you know, people do PhD on Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's life. And, you know, even non-Muslims, you know, study the life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Just a few things, Harun Bhai, that we see today, you know, in a society like child benefits. Can you mention a few of them?
There are many. You know, our life, actually, if you look at it very carefully and study it, is surrounded by systems that Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu gave the world. Establishment of public treasuries, courts and justice systems, appointment of judges, the Hijra calendar, organization of war departments, but our army reservists on the payroll, land revenue, surveys and assessments of lands, censuses, canals, rivers, the list goes on. Honestly, till this day, creating provinces in conquered lands, customs duties, organization of jails. This is systems that history will tell you are still there today, and they still admire how this great, you know, Wali of Allah Azza wa Jalla and this great companion of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was able to do this. Child benefit, you mentioned the welfare system, banning slavery. Check this out. Establishment of schools and then collection of the glorious Quran. Ramzan is a beautiful month, Khalbay, and it just brings that euphoria and it brings that happiness, yeah? But what is one of the things that really kind of makes you feel in that mood for Ramzan? You know, when the masajid are full in the evening and the imam is reading the glorious Quran aloud and everybody, row after row after row, hundreds of people in each mosque all over the world, thousands and millions and 1.7 billion Muslims, yeah, are listening to the recitation of the glorious Quran behind the imam. Who established that system? Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He comes into the mosque, he sees the Muslims praying in different parts, their Tarawih prayers, and he says, how beautiful would it be that if we all did it together? And he got one of the Sahabis who had a beautiful voice, I think it was Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu, or one of the others, they had a beautiful recitation. And he says, right, he put them at the front, and then it started this beautiful way of reading Tarawih. And today, our Ronak of Ramzan, because it's just beautiful in the evenings, the masjids, yeah? And that decoration and that, you know, that, I can't even describe it.
That spiritual
that
uplift.
Spiritual uplift of the Tarawih prayer is all down to the great Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
You know, so here, Khalabi, sometimes people think, being a politician or being politics is something else, being an imam of the masjid is something else. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was both. You know, and you could see this, all the Khulafai Rashideen. And if you look in the past, you know, the great Ulama-i Kiram were great businessmen as well.
But I think that's the great thing, isn't it, about these people, that they balanced their life. They were not just one thing. They were not just the Imam of the Masjid. They were, you know, impeccable character in the Masjid. They were impeccable character at home. Nowadays, you'll see people that maybe they say that, oh, he's two-faced because he's very good in front of people, but at home, he's horrible. And these people of the past, they were there, like, and like we said earlier on, the stories that we're listening today, viewers of Munchan, are there to make us understand that all of these are possible. This person that we're talking about, he was a human being like me and you. And yet he had a character that we can look up to, a character that we can admire, a character that become a role model for as well. Viewers of the channel, we're watching New Year, New Life, and today we're talking about the great status of Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu. And I'm very, very conscious of time. We've only got about 8 minutes left. G. Hafiz Saab, with regards to this, I'm virtually going to say closing comments because I know you've got so much to say and we've only got 8 minutes to say it.
There's a very beautiful quote by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, "We were the most humiliated people on earth and Allah gave us honor through Islam. If we ever seek honor through anything else, Allah will humiliate us again." Now this quote of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, how I see it is that Alhamdulillah Azzawajal, no doubt Islam is the one that Alhamdulillah we, me and you are getting this respect and honor today that we have. And Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran as well, "Inna deena indallahi al-Islam." You know, so no doubt Islam is the deen in the court of Allah Azzawajal. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that if you want honor and respect in this world, then act upon Islam, stay firm on Islam and hold tight the rope of Islam. And today, if we look at it all over the world, why Muslims have lost their honor, have lost their respect, we've lost nearly everything. One of the reasons is that we have forgotten that Islam is the one that will give you honor and respect. Now, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, if we seek honor through anything else, you'll be humiliated again. Now, someone who wants to have, respect and honor and all these kind of things, then what he needs to do, he needs to come back into Islam. You know, he needs to come back to Islam, follow the rules of Islam. Inshallah, Azawajal, Allah Ta'ala will give him that success again. Why is it that, you know, when we talk about the Sahaba-i Kiram, whenever anything was there, they had Islam as number one. Sadly today, you know, there's people out there who even call, you know, they shy to call themselves Muslims, And today, you know, even those viewers who are watching us today, in our own every daily life, do we put Islam first or do we put our culture first? And you'll see your weddings, your daily lives, everything. We are putting our cultures and everything else first and we're putting Islam second. This is one of the biggest problems we're facing in our times today. We need to come back into Islam. We need to come back towards the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala will give us that respect as well. And just finally, I want to say is, if you look at the people who we honor and we respect today, you know, those who follow, they will be the ones who follow Islam. They will be the ones who follow the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They might not be rich, they might not have much wealth, but we still will love and cherish them. Why? It's because you've seen people, Amir al-Sunnah, the prime example. People talk about him. He doesn't have much money. You know, his bank balance, I don't even think there's anything in there. I don't even think he has a bank balance. Yet, if you look at Amir al-Sunnah, why is he loved by millions of people around the world? The reason is that he follows Islam strictly.
I think looking at the life of Hazrat Umar Farooq, one of the greatest lessons that we can learn is that if you want success in life, there is one fundamental ingredient that can lead you to be successful in everything, and that is his love for Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Khalabai, I'm going to finish with this and I'm going to do it quickly because we haven't got long left. But Hazrat Umar Farooq is in Masjid Nabi Sharif on the Minbar Sharif. And Hazrat Imam Hassan, Hazrat Imam Hussein were young, and his son, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar, is young as well. So they're maybe playing. And Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala says to him that you are our servant and your father is also our servant. So the son comes and he says to his father, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says, you know, Hussein has said this. And Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala says, can you get him to write this down? So he thinks, okay, he goes back and he says, Hussein, can you write this down? So Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala writes it down, that you are our slave, and your father is our slave. And as a young child, he's thinking, you know, this is a big thing. My father is Amir al-Mu'mineen. He's going to tell him off or something like that. And you know what the great Hazrat Umar Farooq says? He says, I'm going to save this. Bury me with this, because this may be the reason that Umar is
forgiven.
Look at the love he had for Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Ahl-e Bayt-e Athar. It was just beyond comprehension. And the love was so amazing, so magnificent, that the reward that Allah Azza wa Jal gave him was this. That, you know, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you know, you will, there are many hadiths of Baraka where companions came and Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you know, Ya Rasulullah, when you're in Jannah, how will I see you? And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will be with the one you love.
Allah.
Now that's Jannah. But look at Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala in this world. He is with the one he loves after he leaves this world.
Viewers on the channel, you're watching New Year, New Life, inshallah. Think about what we said today and hopefully we can learn something from this. Keep watching Madri channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
May Allah make this year more auspicious for us. New year, new life. New year, new life. May Allah make this year more auspicious for us. New year, new life. New